Appendix G, from the 50th year, a tape-recorded retrospective of National Federation of the Blind Conventions, narrated by Kenneth Jernigan and created and played for the 50th Anniversary Convention, July 4th, 1990.
It has been said that the conventions of the National Federation of the Blind resemble nothing quite so much as the gathering of the Scottish clans. We come together to renew friendships, show off our children, engage in feasting and a little carousing, pray together and have fellowship, celebrate our victories, plan wars, lament our losses, welcome new members to the family, mourn for the departed, make foreign alliances, discuss business, contemplate the future, and remember the past. At our 50th anniversary, it is especially appropriate that we remember the past. Here is the way the opening of last year's convention in Denver sounded.
Convention is in order. May I have your attention, please? Give me your attention, please. All right, you guys. We are in tight quarters this year, and I need to have your help. I need your help. Hold on, you guys. I have here in my hand a $100 bill. There it is.
In 1984, I was still president of this organization, and I began the convention by talking about one of my favorite topics, computers.
The 1984 convention of the National Federation of the Blind is in order. The blessings of computers are unquestioned and undoubted. However, we will wait for about 20 minutes to draw for our first prize. And the reason for that is that when the computer gets unplugged, it takes about 20 minutes for its program to get so it can draw properly. And somebody came by and stepped on the plug and it got unplugged, and therefore, The blessings of the computer age are with us, with all that that implies.
In 1976, we met at the Biltmore Hotel in Los Angeles.
The 1976 convention of the National Federation of the Blind is in order.
In 1970, we met at the Lymington Hotel in Minneapolis. The convention was enthusiastic and tumultuous.
The 1970 convention of the National Federation of the Blind is in order. And has been, I might add, almost for two or three days.
In 1967, we went to Los Angeles. It was Dr. Tenbrook's last convention. Here is how he called the meeting to order.
The 1967 Convention of the National Federation of the Blind is in order. Thank you, friends. I'm lucky to be here, and I'm glad to be here.
In 1991, we meet in New Orleans. We were also meeting in New Orleans in 1957. Here is how Dr. Tenbrook opened the convention.
Mr. Glenn Clayson, the president of the City Council of the City of New Orleans, will give us a word of welcome. Mr. Clayson.
Thank you very kindly, Dr. Tenbrook. Officers and members of the National Federation of the Blind, may I express to you my deep appreciation for being afforded the opportunity to come here this morning and to offer to each and every one of you a most sincere welcome to the City of New Orleans.
In 1956, we met at the Bellevue Hotel in San Francisco. It was the first time we had held a convention on the West Coast. We were in a period of growth, and the hotel could not hold us. We met in the auditorium of the Masonic Lodge.
Okay, now we're already running somewhat behind schedule, which is not an unaccustomed thing at conventions. So I therefore will now make an immediate rearrangement of matters and ask Bob Fletcher to come on immediately after lunch this afternoon to talk about tape recordings. As you know, in the past, he has taken the tape recordings of the conventions and has made duplicates available to all affiliates and other interested persons. He will talk about the problems involved in that and how to get your copies and so on, and he'll do that immediately after lunch. And I'll skip then to the second item on the program. You all realize that Braille copies of the program are available, that you can pick them up in the lobby of the Bellevue, and also print copies so that you can check and see what is coming up.
The focal point of our national convention is usually the banquet. Last year in Denver, there were so many of us that we not only filled the ballroom, but overflowed into the lobby. President Maurer gave the principal address.
Our words, our thoughts, and our dreams reach for a tomorrow which is bright with promise, and the heart of that promise is the individual determination of each of us and the unshakable power of our vehicle for collective action, the National Federation of the Blind.
The 1987 convention marked the end of the first year of the Maurer presidency. In his banquet address, he talked of his experiences as a former federal employee.
Whether it was an airline, an employer, a department of government, or a service agency for the blind, what they said about blindness was always just about the same. I felt right at home. It was exactly like being back at Notre Dame. The blind are courageous. They will get a good grade. No need to work, and plenty of meaningless assignments. But since 1940, there has been a new element, a new force which has changed the balances. You know what it is as well as I do. It is the National Federation of the Blind.
1986 was my final convention as president. We were meeting in Kansas City, and the banquet was one of our best.
At this convention, we have elected a new president. Mark Maurer will make a good president. He will lead the movement with a firm hand, and he will lead with love and maturity. My brothers and my sisters, come, let us move together into the third generation of our movement.
In 1981, we met in Baltimore. The National Center for the Blind had been established 3 years earlier, and the delegates toured the facilities with pride. The downpour of rain did nothing whatever to lessen the enthusiasm. In fact, when we went to Washington to meet in our thousands on the Capitol steps, some of us wished for its cooling effects. The banquet was the climax of the convention.
Among times, there is a time that turns a corner, and everything this side of it is new. Times do not go backward. for the blind, the corner has been turned, and the time is now. To paraphrase the biblical statement, upon the rock of federationism, we have built our movement, and the very gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
In 1976, we were meeting once more on the West Coast, in Los Angeles. The banquet was symbolic of the mood of the delegates, reflective and determined.
The road stretches on for decades ahead. It stretches backward to the nightmare past of slavery and pain. Yes, I say slavery, and I mean exactly what I say. I use the word deliberately, for no black was ever forced with more absolute finality to the sweat of the cane fields or driven with more terrible rigor to the heat of the cotton rows than we have been forced to the broom shops and the backwaters, and driven to the rocking chairs and the asylums. Never mind that the custody was kindly meant, and that more often than not, the lash was pity instead of a whip. It was still a lash, and it still broke the heart and bruised the spirit. It shriveled the soul and killed the hope and destroyed the dream. Make no mistake, it was slavery. Cruel, degrading, unmitigated slavery. It cut as deep as the overseer's whip and ground as hard as the owner's boot. But that was the past, another time and another era. This is a new day.
In 1973, the Federation met in New York City. We were at the height of our confrontation with the National Accreditation Council for agencies serving the blind and visually handicapped, NAC. And we marched to NAC headquarters, carrying a coffin for NAC's burial. At the banquet, we talked of the role of the blind in history.
We've come a long way together in this movement. Some of us are veterans going back to the 40s. Others are new recruits, fresh to the ranks. Some are young, some are old. Some are educated, others not. It makes no difference. In everything that matters, we're one. We are the movement. We are the blind. Just as in 1940, when the National Federation of the Blind was formed, the fog rolls in through the Golden Gate. The eucalyptus trees give forth their pungent smell, and the Berkeley Hills look down at the bay. The house still stands in those hills, and the plains still rise from San Francisco to span the world. But Jacobus Tenbrook comes from the house no more, nor rides the plains to carry the word. But the word is carried, and his spirit goes with it. He it was who founded this movement, and he it is whose dreams are still entwined in the depths of its being. Likewise, our dreams, our hopes, and our visions are part of the fabric, going forward to the next generation as a heritage and a challenge. History is not against us. The past proclaims it, the present confirms it, and the future demands it.
In 1990, we have published a history of our first 50 years. Its title is Walking Alone and Marching Together, the concluding lines of the 1968 banquet address. It was the year of Dr. Tenbrook's death, and my first year as national president.
In this time of transition, in this changing of the guard in the affairs of the blind, we might articulate our prospect and our vision by paraphrasing some words from the inaugural address of a recent president of the United States. Let the word go out from this place and this moment that the torch has been passed to a new generation of blind Americans,
a generation born in this century and fully belonging to it, a generation committed to the belief that all men, seeing or blind, are capable of independence and self-direction, of attaining equality and pursuing happiness in their own way, of serving each other and helping themselves, of walking alone and of marching together, and march together we will.
When we met in Los Angeles in 1967, all of us, including Dr. Tenbrook, knew that it would be his last convention. He delivered the banquet address.
Through all the years and decades of our existence as an organized movement, for all our splendid success in gaining allies and winning public support, we have faced the persistent opposition of those whom we may rightfully call the hardcore custodians. The main thrust of their attack upon us has always been and is today that the blind people are not ready for equality, not prepared for the burdens of freedom, not strong enough to stand upright and walk alone down the main streets of society. To this denial of equality by the agencies, the organized blind reply, we are not only equal to you, but we're also equal to your challenge.
In 1965, we met in the nation's capital, and more than 100 members of Congress attended the banquet. Dr. Tenbrook talked of our first 25 years.
So this is the 25th anniversary. It's a long time, and it's a great organization. 25 years. A quarter of a century. How much time is that? In the biography of a social movement based on justice and equality, it is a measurable segment. In the life of a man, say, from his 30th to his 55th year, it encompasses the best years, the very prime, when experience, energy, intellect, mingle in their most favorable proportions, before which he is too young, and after which, pardon me for saying it, he is too old. As a man who spent those 25 best years of life in and with the Federation, I have few regrets, immense pride, and boundless hope for the future.
In 1961, the Federation was torn asunder by civil war. Although the great majority of the members wanted Dr. Tenbrook to continue as president, he was sick at heart as he contemplated the internal strife. He came to the podium to report to the members, and his message brought tears to most of those who were present.
In the past few years, I've been called many things and compared to many people. In the February Free Press, a new comparison bobbed up. I was compared this time to Julius Caesar. We all know what happened to Caesar. He was assassinated, and it was not just in character. In Shakespeare's version, Mark Antony came to bury him. Today, my friends, I play the role of Mark Antony. I come to bury Caesar. Today, in a few moments, I shall turn over the gavel. When I do, my resignation shall be complete and effective.
The high point of the 1956 convention in San Francisco was Dr. Tenbrook's banquet address, Within the Grace of God. We were in the opening stages of our battle for the right of the blind to organize.
In the 16th century, John Bradford made a famous remark, which has ever since been held up to us as a model of Christian humility and correct charity. Seeing a beggar in his rags, groping along a wall through a flash of lightning in a stormy night, Bradford said, "But for the grace of God, there go I." Compassion was shown, pity was shown, charity was shown, humility was shown. There was even an acknowledgement that the relative positions of the two persons could and might have been switched. Yet despite the compassion, despite the pity, despite the charity, despite the humility, how insufferably arrogant. There was still an unbridgeable gulf between Bradford and the beggar. They were not one, but two. How much more consistent with the facts of individual and social life, how much more a part of a true humanity to say instead, there, within the grace of God, do go I.
In July of 1952, the Federation met in Nashville. It was my first national convention. It was also the first time that we had ever had an address by our president on nationwide radio. Dr. Tenbrook spoke on the NBC network.
Blind men and women from all over the nation are gathering today in Nashville, Tennessee, for a four-day convention of their organization, the National Federation of the Blind. In our studios is the president of the National Federation of the Blind, Dr. Jacobus Tenbrook of Berkeley, California. The National Federation of the Blind is the organization of the blind themselves. It is dedicated to the presentation of the problems of blindness as the blind see them, and to the solutions of those problems as the blind have worked them out. Dr. Tenbrook has been blind since the age of 7. He holds doctoral degrees from the universities of Harvard and California. He has taught law at the universities of Chicago and Colorado. For the past 10 years, he has been a member of the faculty of the University of California and is presently also a member of the California State Social Welfare Board. Dr. Tenbrook will speak on the role of the blind in a democratic society. NBC takes pleasure in presenting Dr. Jacobus Tenbrook, President of the National Federation of the Blind, speaking by transcription from the studios of WSM in Nashville.
I should like to ask you to join with me in seeking the answer to what may seem an easy question. Have the blind a right to a place in the sun or only to a shelter? In more conventional terms, the subject I shall discuss with you this afternoon is the role of the blind in a democratic society. No doubt that sounds like a simple and straightforward issue, clear enough in its meaning if not in its solution. But I fear that the appearance of simplicity may be greatly misleading. And so, before proceeding further, I shall ask you to bear with me while I attempt to clarify the principal terms involved, the big word democracy, and that other term, the blind.
The first recording of Dr. Tenbrook's voice that we have was made at the 1952 National Convention in Nashville. The banquet was held at the Andrew Jackson Hotel, and Tennessee's Governor Gordon Browning was present to introduce Dr. Tenbrook. I was also at that banquet as Master of Ceremonies. Dr. Tenbrook spoke on a familiar theme.
It is thus no accident that in the 12 years since the National Federation of the Blind was founded, significant gains have been made in the public assistance field, in vocational rehabilitation, and in other social services which improve the economic lot and cultural integration of the blind. The principles on which the National Federation of the Blind is founded reflect a positive determination to finish the process that has been begun and to effect a complete transformation of the social role of the blind from helpless, pauperized, and segregated wards held in social custody to full and equal members in society as first-class citizens.
These have been the sounds of the first 50 years of the National Federation of the Blind. When the members gather to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the movement, perhaps they will remember and once again recall these voices from the past. If so, let this be our message to you of that generation. We of the first 50 years worked to create a climate of public opinion and opportunity which would permit you to have equal treatment and full citizenship. We leave you a proud heritage and a strong vehicle for collective action. Take this heritage, this vehicle, this National Federation of the Blind. Use it, cherish it, and never forget your link with those of us who went before you, or your obligation to those who will follow. Remember that no one can give you freedom. You must either take it for yourself or not have it. This is a lesson which each generation must learn again. We speak to you from the convention of the 50th year, and we send you our love and our bond of union to last through the centuries.
End of Walking Alone and Marching Together, a history of the organized blind movement in the United States, 1940 to 1990, by Floyd Mattson. Narrated by Bob Askey in the studios of Talking Book Publishers, Incorporated, for the Library of Congress, August 1990.